Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Good day, everyone. I want to go back to something we learned from Mr. Armstrong when we first came into the church. I took a lot of my study from the resurrection was not on a Sunday. It's available on the church website. It was an amazing truth to learn all those years ago, revealed through Mr. Armstrong, about Sunday observance. The Catholic Church taught the world that Christ was resurrected on the first day of the week. And in view of that, they established Sunday observance over Sabbath observance. People who disagreed, one estimate runs to 50 million were martyred for not adjusting to the new reality of the Catholic Church. In Mark 7, verses 6 to 9, don't bother to turn it, "In vain do you worship me," talking to the Jews, incidentally, but it applies to all humanity. "You reject the commandments of God that you may keep your own traditions." Sunday worship went back far before the time of Christ. When we look at what Christ replied when they demanded a sign, a miraculous sign, to prove his messiahship, this is in Matthew 12, verses 38 to 40. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 40, "Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answering said, 'Master, we would see a sign from you. Prove yourself.' And he answered and said unto them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, but there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah.'" Or in my translation, it's Jonas, but obviously it's Jonah, because Jonah, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea creature, so the Son of Man would be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Pretty clear. 72 hours. Good Friday crucifixion and Easter Sunday resurrection denies this very sign that Christ gave. Christ was crucified on the preparation day, Passover, which we will shortly be keeping. It was the preparation day for a high day, a great feast day, the Days of Unleavened Bread. In the central reference column of the King James Version, which I study, use, they even give the reference to, what is it, Exodus 12. So they knew what the great day, the people, the students of the Bible, the scholars who compiled the center references, knew which day this referred to. They knew it was not a weekly Sabbath. John 19, verse 31, talking about the preparation day, it was this great day, this feast day, referring to the first day of unleavened bread, a holy convocation, one of the annual feast days. Christ, therefore, had to be killed on Wednesday, in the middle of the week, the fourth day of the week. He died about 3 p.m. Joseph Arimathea begged his body of Pilate and managed to bury him before sunset, which would have been around 6 o'clock in the evening. So for 3 days, 3 nights, means the resurrection would actually not have been on Sunday, the first day of the week at all. It would have been late on the Sabbath afternoon, towards 6 o'clock in the evening. We could have a look at Luke 23, Luke chapter 23, starting in verse 52. "Behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. He was a good man and a just. The same was not consenting to the council and deeds of them. He was of Arimathea, the city of the Jews, who himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate, begged the body of Jesus, took it down, wrapped it in linen, laid it in the sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. This was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on." So this is Wednesday, before the Sabbath, the holy day, which would have been the Thursday, starting at the sunset of the Wednesday, of course. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, beheld the sepulchre, saw where the body was laid, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now this is a little confusing, because obviously they couldn't buy the ointments and couldn't prepare them until after the holy day. So they would have bought them on Friday, prepared them on the Friday, and then rested for the weekly Sabbath. And then continuing in chapter 24, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came onto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Christ had already risen before dawn of the first day of the week. They met two men in shining garments, presumably these were angels, and verse 5, these say to them, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is risen." At dawn, he had already risen. He'd risen 12 hours before. We look over further to Matthew 28. In Matthew chapter 28, picking up the same story. Matthew 28, verse 1, at the end of the Sabbath, Mr. Armstrong pointed out, only one translation gets this right, a rather obscure one, the Farrar Fenton one. It's Sabbaths. There were two Sabbaths this week. In the end of the Sabbaths, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came, rolled back the stone of the door, and sat upon it. Now, I should have explained earlier, going back to the previous chapter, the Jewish leaders knew that Christ had talked about being resurrected on the third day. So, reading in verse 27, in 62, now, the next day, I'm sorry, I've got this out of time sequence, I should have covered this before. Now, the next day, following the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came to Pilate saying, "Sir, we remember that the deceiver," talking about Christ, "said, whilst he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.'" They understood it was going to be 3 days, not a night, a day, and a night. "Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night, steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "You have a watch, here you are, here's the guards. Go your way, make it as sure as you can." So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting the watch. Coming down to the next chapter, after Mary Magdalene, we have the situation in verse 11, which is quite interesting. "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch," the guard that had been set over the tomb, "came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and said, and had taken counsel, they gave a large sum of money unto the soldiers, saying, say his disciples came at night," not first thing in the morning, "at night, and stole him away while we slept." These are Roman soldiers, sleeping on duty, high risk. And they continued, "And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you." That promise was needed. They would have been executed for dereliction of duty. So they took the bribe and accepted the protection of the high priest to perpetrate a lie. But that lie contained the truth that it was before sunrise. Christ, what they claimed, was stolen away during the night, not the first day of the week. To fulfill his sign, Christ was buried just before sunset on the fourth day. So he was resurrected just before sunset on the seventh day. 3 days, 3 nights. There is the extra Sabbath with the first day of unleavened bread. And then, of course, the weekly Sabbath when the people came to prepare the body for, better prepare the body for its burial. So Paul is able to record in under inspiration in 1 Corinthians 15, in verses 3 and 4, that he, Jesus Christ, rose on the third day, which of course is the third day after his death, but not the third day of the week, as the scripture has said. Christ fulfilled the scripture. It is honourable. It is not a fable. It's not a tradition. Or as one of the Bible helps I read said, as is the custom, we read a day as a part of a day. So as a custom and a tradition, and to honour the Son, everything is bent out of place, but that denied Christ as our Messiah. He did fulfil the scriptures. He didn't have to bend the truth. He is still our Messiah, fortunately. And we do not have to rely upon this ridiculous Sunday observance.